The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'm thinking about vehicles, because I was in a car accident last week, and my car is in the shop for some major repairs. And when I dropped it off, they did a kind of a rough eyeball estimate of the cost based on what they could see visually, you know, which it came to me as a list of parts that were going to have to be replaced based on what they could see, you know, the rear bumper, a couple of taillights, etc. So then that caused me to reflect that what we call a car is really an assemblage of a bunch of different parts, right? And certain parts, quite a few parts actually, have to be there in order for us to say that it's a car. There's sort of some minimal requirements. But then also there has to be some kind of functionality. Like if I gave you a picture of all the parts, that wouldn't be a car. Or if all the parts were spread out on the ground, but just not really put together in the right way, I don't think you'd accept that as a car either. So there's some need for them all to be correctly assembled and working in order to create what we would call a full car. Now, they didn't have cars in the time of the Buddha, but they did have chariots. And the same idea was understood, is that a chariot is an assemblage of parts. This appears in a number of different teachings. And I'm gonna read a teaching about that in a moment. But then, you know, when the car goes in, what you take it to is called a body shop. And so then we can consider also that the body is an assemblage of parts. It has skin, muscles, bones, organs, nerves, fluids, many other parts. And I would also suggest that quite a few of those parts need to be there, and they have to be arranged properly for us to call it a body, right? When I was a kid, I used to watch a TV show called Cosmos with Carl Sagan. It was on during the 70s. And there were only 13 episodes in this whole series, but they were so powerful, actually, that some of the scenes have stayed with me all this time. And in particular, I remember there was one where Carl Sagan took a large cauldron, and he put into it all the constituent elements of a human body. So he's put in a certain number of pounds of carbon in the form of graphite, for example. He just sort of dumped it in. And then he dumped in things that had nitrogen, calcium, water, phosphorus, and all the various trace elements and minerals in the body, just all stuck together in a cauldron, basically. And it was kind of this bubbling concoction at the end. And it had basically the right proportion of the atoms that are found in the human body, but they were not properly assembled into skin, muscles, bones, organs, etc. And there was no question in my mind that what was in that cauldron was not a human body, right? So then, you know, the body is a kind of convention. It's not, you know, there's all these molecules that make up the body parts, and then there are the parts that are put together in a certain way, and we have a word for that, which is a human body. And then going the other way, the body is not one solid thing, right? We see our body, we tend to see our body as this one thing. It's me, I look in the mirror, there it is. But it's really a bunch of parts. And beyond that, the parts change, right? I looked up some statistics on how things change. Turns out the cells in your colon are exchanged every 4 days, the lining of the colon is completely replaced. You have a completely new skin every 2 to 3 weeks. That's kind of interesting. So then that leads to questions like, what exactly is my body? Or in a more worldly, everyday thing, if the car shop replaces every single part on my car, you know, they take off the bumper and they put on another bumper, and then they take off the wheel and they put on another wheel. If they do that for every single part, is it the same car that I'm getting back? Is it still my car? So that means, in some ways, my car is basically a legal definition. I think it would be, because the license plate would still have that same number and so forth. But it's a convention, right? You could replace every part, but it would still be mine in some way, some legal sense. So then what happens if we think about our body in kind of the same way, with all these different parts that keep getting exchanged, but we still call it, you know, we still call it Kim in the end, I suppose. So what we're playing with is ways of seeing things, right? We can think about the things that we interact with or that make up our lives. And I would suggest that seeing things in this way can help us feel less attached to various objects, whether they're bodies or chariots or cars. So I'm going to use the term then that all these things could be vehicles of insight. Okay, we have vehicles in our lives that we ride around in, and they would be vehicles of insight if they give us opportunities to develop wisdom. So looking at them in a certain way can help us to let go of the ways that we suffer around our body or our physical possessions of various things. So I'm reminded of the way there's a famous story of Ajahn Chah having a cup, right? And he says, oh, this cup is already broken. And he sees in it that there's going to be a crack in it someday. And that allows him to use it freely and then not be upset when it actually breaks, because he sees the breakable nature of it. I suppose we could see our car has already crashed, something like that. That's maybe a little harder, I don't know. Or how about our bodies? You know, we can accept change, the change of aging, the change of illness. It's just the nature of these parts that they get out of balance and they degrade over time and so forth. It's just kind of how they are. I was on a retreat recently where the teacher was making a similar point, and he says, it's just the way of it. It's just the way of it. You know, or the parts can be injured. I also came away from that car accident with a concussion, so my brain was temporarily changed. And I noticed that it worked differently, and it felt different during that time. Don't worry, it healed very quickly. But if I were strongly identified with my brain being a certain way, then I would have been more distressed by that. I do have to be careful saying that and not be too blasé, because I am identified with my brain. I could see this. I do like my brain to be a certain way. So that's something for me to keep working on, because it can change. So the Buddha encouraged us and helped us through his teachings to see in several ways that support wisdom. Maybe I'll just kind of summarize. So for example, seemingly solid objects are really made of interacting or interconnected parts. It's very helpful to see. I mean, we can say, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But really, do we really look at objects in that way and see them as their constituent parts? And then see also that these parts change over time. And so that is why physical objects don't persist. They're impermanent. They're very things that make them up. The very conditions that they're made of are themselves changing. So, of course, things can't persist. And then to see also that the fully assembled object, even though it's hardly stable over time, everything is shifting, but it's really just a convention. It's dependent on the parts, on how they're arranged, and on their functionality. So I said earlier that I would offer a teaching about a chariot and its parts. So here it is. There was a wise nun whose name was Vajira, and one day Mara came to taunt her during her meditation. You may have heard that Mara is this force in our mind that distracts us, or sometimes he's said to be the personification of death. And so he comes and he taunts Vajira while she's meditating, and he says, "By whom has this being been created? Where is the maker of the being? Where has the being arisen? Where does the being cease?" Various questions that we might have. And Vajira suspects that this is Mara, and so she doesn't buy into the way he's asking the questions. In fact, she challenges his use of the term being. She's very wise, and so she replies, "Just as with an assemblage of parts, the word chariot is used, so when the aggregates are present, there's the convention of a being." So don't worry that this term, the aggregates, just refers broadly to the body and the mind. There's some details, but we won't go into that. So what Vajira is saying is that what is here, meditating, is just a body and a mind, and we have a convention of calling that a being. Now, it's not that there isn't a chariot, right? We can go for a ride if the parts are assembled correctly. We can go for a ride in it, and we can carry things in it that we couldn't carry otherwise. So there, a chariot is a real thing that has real effects in the world. And similarly, it's not that there isn't a being. It's not that there isn't a person. But it's just a convention for naming this assemblage of body and mind. It's not the only way to see it, and it doesn't have absolute existence. So I encourage the seeing of things in our lives as vehicles of insight, as ways that we can see things in ways that won't lead to attachment, won't lead to suffering. So see if you can see things in new ways, and maybe that'll help us to let go. We all need these reminders. So thank you.